some opportunities. But there are also opportunities to learn. And that's not the end of the story. It's to engage in a different way moving forward. Maybe we've, wow, all summer and spring, I've only invested in myself or whatever it is. But there's probably also those opportunities where we have stepped out. We took a risk. We shared. We loved in some way our neighbors. Got to know them. We were Christ, a co-worker or whatever else. I want to just caution us, help us, remind us not to tell someone else's story, even while we tell ours, but we can still try and tell ours without giving too much away. So as you're thinking about your stories, just before we get into the sharing time, I just want to, a few of the verses we went through last week along this theme, I want to read Romans 13. Owe no one anything except to love others. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. I want to read Galatians 5 again. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then in James 2, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. So hopefully you're getting your stories ready. I'm going to read one. Larry Penner is visiting his children this week and next week, but he sent me this one. So I want to read it on behalf of him. He knew the sharing service was coming up, so he emailed me. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges. He's quoting Leviticus 19, which we dealt on last week. He said he couldn't get this one out of his mind. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. He says, last Sunday, Pastor Gary provided a number of examples of how we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves and provided scripture verses to the challenge. The scripture verse that kept coming to my mind throughout the week was Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, the ones I just read. With today's farming technology, how do you leave the edges of the field and not pick all the fruit or the grain in the harvest? It is virtually impossible to do so and would be recognized as a good steward of the land that has been entrusted to you. I do, however, believe that events such as the Food Grades Project, which so many of you came out to see on Thursday, is the primary application of that verse. Everyone who attended had opportunity to give and be part of the project. To watch a little bit of the process by which the proceeds of harvest can be used to feed our neighbor or the foreigner, as these verses reference. I'm not able to be here this morning, but I would like to provide details of the harvest. First of all, to thank him for the harvest, the day and the opportunity God provided to work with and enjoy with our neighbors. I did not receive info on how many people were fed that day, but the crowd was large. What I do know is that we harvested an amazing crop of barley at 129.6 bushels per acre, and baled 394 straw bales, which was 30 more than we had pre-sold at the auction in June. The donations at the harvest were over $20,000, which is astounding, and is also where the majority of the church family are able to apply Leviticus 19, 9, and 10, and be part of the helping of our neighbor. I will calculate all the grain deliveries and let everyone know what the final proceeds are, but to our church family. But thank you for the support, for showing our community we care and love our neighbor. And that's a great way. He wanted to share that this morning. So we celebrate that. Zach is ready to run around. He's got his dress shoe on, kind of a black runner, so he can really move. So we can just share like that. So just wave and share. What's it been like to love your neighbor, or miss opportunities to love your neighbor, or whatever? I've got more, but are you guys hearing lots of my voice? I want to hear somebody else's voice. It would be awesome. And no, it's not tooting your own horn or pride. It's celebrating God through us. Beverly and I were at Crow's Nest Lake Bible Camp this summer. When we first volunteered, they had me down to speak. Thankfully, praise God, I said no to that. I thought, I just want to do maintenance for a week and have less prep and whatever else. That worked out really good with the two funerals basically during that same week. But it was a really good dynamic among the support staff. Carmen and Nolan were also part of that support staff. They were in the dining room. Beverly was in the kitchen with another group of people. But the theme that week was, what's a godly gentleman? And the speaker really got into that theme. So I guess sometimes the speakers don't completely roll with that theme, and it's the program directors that are, it almost seems like something disconnected. But we were all on the same page. What's a godly gentleman? As it was intermediate boys camp. And keep in mind that we were at the mountain site. So there's a lake site that's larger with Crow's Nest Lake Bible Camp, and then the mountain site, which is much more remote, and they're limited with facilities up there. But so they give options during the afternoon, and we could have just went and done the basics, but Beverly, the instigator that she is, and an opportunity to love these guys, even as she's serving in the kitchen, whatever, come up with an idea for an option in the afternoon that they could pick. Gentlemanly attire. And then I was here for the funeral anyway, so she contacted me. I grabbed some supplies from home. We found some more at the remote site. And these young men, age 12 to 14, came and made ties. But they got right into it. At first, they were a little, what's this? And Carmen was helping and stuff. But they got right into it. They're making top hats, cool ties out of jeans, out of leather. One guy, that thing on the back of your tie? I was going to wear a tie this morning that holds the little piece at the back. He thought to cut up a pair of jeans and put a belt loop on the back of his tie. And they got right into it. And then at the end of the week, the Last Supper, not kind of like that, but we had a banquet. They hadn't done that. It went with the theme, and we served them, so we've got towels over our arms, and so us support staff, we serve them like they're in a 5-star restaurant. It was a lot of fun, but it really developed this theme. And the program directors and others, they went, wow, it was just so fun to be working as a whole crew in this same theme. And they said, sometimes this intermediate boys camp, the competitive nature or bathroom humor or something else can really help it take a negative turn. We didn't have that. It's just a real positive sense of this gentlemanly, what's a godly gentleman. And when anybody did something that was a little dodgy or off a bit, somebody would say, bad form. And it would just, in a fun way, bring it back to here's what we're doing. A very positive interaction there. So, stepping out in different ways. And it was a lot more fun. It was an opportunity to love, but it made it more fun, too, being really involved with the campers in all sorts of ways. So, all right, but Shirley, somebody's got a story now, even if your name's not Shirley. Yeah, there you go, right at the back. Mr. Jerry. Oh, he's got a sore leg.
Jared Young, Jerry and Chris. We moved into our home here in Kona a little over 3 years ago. And since then, there have been three families that have moved out and three new families that have moved in our immediate neighborhood. So it's kind of exciting to say goodbye to old friends and meet new friends. Mm-hmm. And the really exciting thing is that some of the people that, did you lose me?
Yeah.
You try again?
Are we going to get them back or do we need to change your mic?
My light's on. Oh, here we go. The really exciting thing is that some of the people that have left were older people, almost as old as we are, older.
Anyway,
we've got new neighbors with young kids and a newly married couple that now are expecting their first child. So it's really exciting for us to be involved with them.
Excellent. Good. That's cool that you knew their names of the ones moving away after 3 years and in getting to know the one new ones coming in. Good. Yeah, building relationship, right? Ministry's relational. Right here, Shauna. Cut through.
I thought I'll take the opportunity to brag on our neighbors a little bit. I guess we were the new people in the neighborhood about 4 years ago. And we moved into a neighborhood where it's well established. Like, there's solid relationships that are going on. So we're kind of like, I don't know, like, if we're going to get accepted into this group or whatever. And so we were praying about that. But I don't know that I could say as much that we've done for our neighbors as what our neighbors have done for us, because they've just been there for us. Like, when we've had to run to the emergency room for different things, they will come and either go with us or come help us. They've invited us out to their cabin. They're just there in the evenings out visiting, and we can go join them. And, like, I think just to know them and to know that, God just given that, it's been such a gift. And, like, really, really, I think probably the best neighbor situation we've ever had. So I don't know. Like, I don't know that we could say we're there for them more. We've really been whatever. I think when you get to know them, that relationship just becomes mutual, and they've just been a huge blessing in our lives.
Just being neighborly, knowing each other. That's great.
This morning my car couldn't start, so my neighbor saw the lift across the street. So he came over and asked, and he gave me a ride to church. And he also said he can come to our church if it's open to everybody, and he was also interested in Bible study. So thanks to my neighbor, I'm here.
Excellent. That's great. Sometimes the best way to get to know somebody is put ourselves in the place of where they can serve us rather than us serving them, because it empowers them and they feel good about that, and that's nothing wrong with that. We need to humble ourselves. Good. We've got Tim back there.
Hi. This has to do with the food bank, too. Usually I supply a baler to go and help bail, and this week I had a family commitment. It was a nice surprise. My grandkids came down to see me, so that was very good. But I didn't know how to run this baler. And so then I thought, I can call on a favor. There's a young man that had done some work for me, or I had done some work with him. And he said, sure, I'd love to do it. I've never been there before, but I was planning to go. But I'll do it for you. Later that night, I got this text. Tim, I had the opportunity tonight to meet a young man who drove your tractor and baler at the Food Grains Project. He spoke so highly of you and the incredible mentorship he had learned from you as a soccer coach, as well as how you live and the example you are. I just wanted to let you know I had an awesome conversation with him. It's humbling, but it's also, I don't want to toot my horn. It's not that. I'm thankful for that. But I also have a worse one. I have a very good friend. I've had many conversations with him over the years, meet for breakfast quite often, text quite a bit. And I knew it wasn't all good with him and his wife, just by what little comments he'd make. But I never took him up on it. A few weeks ago, he texted me and said, "Hey, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be in my shop." He came, and we cried, and we cried. He was leaving his wife. I failed him. He had probably tried to reach out in little words to me, but I failed him. So I just want to ask you to pray for him, but also listen to your conversations and pick out those little things. And also be honest with each other. When somebody asks you, "How are you doing?" You know, if it's something that isn't right, maybe go aside and talk to them. Together, we can do a lot more. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first I praise you. It matters how we care for one another, how we coach teams, how we engage people as people created in your image, worthy of, they have intrinsic value and worth because they're created in your image, not when they succeed only and what, not when they do this or do that, simply because they're human and they're created in your image. And thank you. We praise you that Tim, others here in this congregation are mentoring, are stepping into people's lives, loving them, empowering them, calling out the best in them. We thank you. And Father, we also pray. We have opportunities to learn. We've all missed opportunities to love our neighbor. We've been distracted or fearful or whatever's hindered us from asking that second question. How are you really doing? Or, I just heard you say this. Do you want to talk about that more? And being a safe place for their story to tumble out and how we can care for them. And Father, I pray for this man. I pray for others in our community who are struggling, whether it's a marriage relationship or a parent-child relationship or some other thing going on in life, Father. It seems to me that we can respond like our culture, with a lot of fear, with a lot of protect our own kind of idea. Or we can respond like you, Jesus, and move towards people with grace and truth. And I pray we would find the courage to push through our fears, our other inhibitors, to really love our neighbors. For your glory, for the good of your kingdom. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks. Someone else. Try it again.
Checking just if this isn't working. Oh, yeah. This year, past year, has been a real transition for me. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has wonderfully undertaken. The selling of my condo, I thought, was possibly a very poor time. Yet I prayed about it, and then I contacted my real estate man. I said, "Should I go for selling my condo?" He says, "No, the sales are lousy." That was no encouragement. 4 days later, he phoned and says, "Rudy, let's go for it." And so I said, "If you're game, we'll put it up for 3 months, and if it doesn't move, we'll wait another year and try again." Well, we did put it up. And the first person to visit on that, when we start, we put it up for sale, he gave me an offer. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was a good offer, actually. And then when I counter-offered him for what I really wanted, he says, "Let's go for it." and my condo was sold. But then the next challenge was, where would I now live without a condo? So I applied at Sunny South Lodge, and I had my reservations about going there because I think it's becoming more and more a long-term care facility. And I thought, I really don't belong there. And yet there was a one room available, and I knew I had no other place to go, so I said I'd move in. And I struggled at first, but I found that there were in the lodge a lot of hurting people. And not only people that have their residence there, but also workers who would open up to me and say, oh, I'm battling cancer, and I just lost my one eye through cancer. Now I have another development. And I found it was a real good place to relate to people that are many of them hurting and difficult. And then the climax of this whole year has been my getting together with my family and my wife's family. I was away for a couple of weeks, and first with my family at Waterton, we had a tremendous time together, relating to one another as family. And right after that, I took off for Ontario to gather with my wife's family, the Fast Gathering. And there were many from B.C., Alberta, Manitoba, and Ontario there. And it was a time of refreshing, also taking me time to the very beginnings of my ministry in St. Catharines, where I had many opportunities to preach. They trusted me for the preaching ministry while I was on summer break from seminary. And the Lord has just been so good in leading in my life that I need to give him the praise. I want to trust him also for the future. It's not always that easy growing old, but God, the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And therefore we can say, the Lord is my help. What can others do to me? Thank you.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Rudy. Amazing, right? How he works things out. I've thought many times, you may not be ready for the lodge, but the lodge was ready for you. And it reminds me of, we were just at the lodge yesterday. We did Taylor Chartier's wedding, and then in between the wedding and the reception, we come back here, dropped off some stuff at the church, and then Beverly and I did some visitation. A few people among us are turning 90. They're not here this morning. We went and visited one home visit and then some in the lodge. And we're outside the lodge, and I overheard another conversation. And somebody was saying, Tina Matthews just passed away, and we'd done her memorial. And they were just saying how much they missed those conversations with Tina. But you're in there ministering. There's so many lonely, hurting people around us. Often, this is the best way to love them. It's with those two things on the side of our heads. Go hear their stories and love them. Share some grace and truth with them. Yeah. Be encouraged. Let's press out and love. Someone else? Love the mirror.
We have gone through a lot of changes in our lives, in our life, the last year, and we're very thankful for what God has done for us. And talking about neighbors, we have a lot of neighbors in the same building, and we have opportunity to say an encouraging word to people and to listen. Everybody has a story, and we can listen. And if they want to listen to us, that's okay too. But we're thankful for what God has done.
Great, thanks. Yeah, lots of opportunities, eh? And what a privilege to hear their stories and also speak grace and truth. And yeah, awesome.
I just wanted to say how I've had an amazing summer. It's amazing if you put yourself out there, how many moms are there to talk to and encourage you. And it's been amazing to go to spray parks and Henderson walks and hosting people. You really do need that support when you're a mom, and just being able to compare your kids and brag about your kids and just having that encouragement and knowing that there's so many people that are, like, walking the same path you are, and it's just nice to have someone to relate with.
Yeah, what a way to start it is to put yourself out there too, right? You make yourself vulnerable, but it becomes a mutual blessing. And that's how we need each other. Life on our planet Earth is harder than it was supposed to be. We need each other. And people around us need us too. Good. Someone else?
Carl and Jenna and I have had the chance to do some lawn mowing for one of our neighbors. They're older and they needed some support, and it's part of the best part about doing that job is just some of the conversations we get to have with both of them, either before or while we're working or whatever. And we already knew them before, but getting to know them more and support them because they're going through some challenges in life, and that's been really neat.
Excellent. Yeah, we go to bless others and serve them, but in return, we're blessed by their story and journey and stuff too, right? That's good. Thanks for sharing. Okay, someone else. Give you another. Okay.
On Thursday, we stopped at Streets of Life to drop off the money that we made from the garage sale and the extra baking. And I wish all of you could have come with us because they were just so thankful, and it was just so encouraging to be thanked and be. And it's humbling. Just wow, you guys did all this for us. And I don't feel like we did that much for them. It just feels like it was just a privilege to be able to help them out. And, just to raise awareness of what Streets Alive were doing and stuff. It's just been really a neat blessing this last couple of weeks being involved with the garage sale that we had.
Yeah, the total that we took in there was $2,463. Right on the dollar, despite pennies and nickels and dimes and whatever else, or not pennies, quarters and nickels and dimes, and it added up right to that dollar, $2,463, so that was huge. Very thankful for that. We took in 4 loaves plus 44 bags of cookies that they can distribute, and there's several truckloads and vans that went to the MCC thrift store, so that blessing is still being sold for help there. And there's several items that will be posted online and stuff for sale as well. So that's still ongoing, both work, but it's also blessing. So good to be involved. All right, well, I'm going to share one more, and I'll give you a brief opportunity right after that for another story. So build up that courage. I sensed at the beginning of the summer I needed to lead some prayer walks. I didn't get to do as many as I wanted to. We only did 3. But even doing those 3 prayer walks, it'd start here at the church, and every time we went a different direction with each of those prayer walks on different evenings. And just a real awareness. You know, I know there's a spiritual battle, and it's just as real as the physical. But just to get a glimpse into that to some degree and pray for the different homes as we walk by them, whoever lives there, and make some sort of observation and pray as specifically as we could, or down through the businesses if we were in there, or down past the school. Yeah, we pray for people that work at the school. And there's a real battle going on. And people, most people aren't trying to do bad things on purpose. They're really just trying to make life work apart from God. And it seems like within Coaldale, it seems like parts of Lethbridge as well, there's just a real sense of fear and anger at, you know, people, how much theft is going on, or, you know, people just feel violated in one way or another, and there's this fear and anger, they want to lash out. What an incredible opportunity for the body of Christ to treat people like people and respond in faith and love and kindness. And, yeah, it doesn't mean letting people get away with bad behavior. We wouldn't do that in our congregation either. Anybody's welcome. Not anybody's welcome to come and treat someone disrespectfully in this place. We would take some action. But the action we can take is for their good. And I think we have a real opportunity to have a different response, not get caught up in the fear and the vengeance and the anger, but respond like Jesus and walk, learn to walk with people where they're really at and provide hope along the way. Jesus wants to meet people personally and powerfully. Some people have no idea. You know, we sometimes say, well, why don't they come to church? Why don't they ask God for help? Well, they don't need, it's not even on the radar. There's times when we forget that in the midst of a struggle, let alone a lot of the world. So how can we love our neighbors? Someone else with a story?
I have told many people that I have the world's best landlord. And I haven't heard any dissenting voices, so I'm going to continue with that. The Lord has been really good to me. My landlord is, he's a bit older than I am. He's a fix-it man. He knows all kinds of people who can help fix things, and he enlists their services. And he tells me the names, the first names, of the people that move into my apartment building, which is really nice, because then I can, and with sometimes fear and trembling, go and knock on their doors or ring their doorbells and get to meet them. I know all of the names of the present occupants. I've not been able to get as much connection with them as I wanted to. However, I try to remember to pray for them by name. And this summer, I booked a Norwex party. Some of you know what those are. And one of my neighbors and her mom came, attended, and there were a few other people there. Now, we didn't talk about the Lord, but I had some connection, and I need your prayer for wisdom in continuing to connect with them and also with my landlord. I don't think he knows the Lord, but the last time that I talked to him, there something came up for discussion, and he said, will you pray for me? I assured him I would. So it's a foot in the door, so to speak.
Good, thanks, Emma. Well, we'll do that in a moment right at the end of the service. We'll pray for you and all of us. We'd have wisdom engaging our neighbors. Can I get one of our ushers to run downstairs and invite the children back up? They might want to see this closing video that will send us off with love our neighbor in a fun way. Thanks, Zach. So we'll invite them back up. We'll have a closing video and a closing prayer, and then we'll go do this. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So we'll see. Now that I've told them to invite them up, I should wait until they're here to start the video, probably. And I'm all out of stories to tell.